Welcome to Living Fullness, a podcast where you're invited to walk with two unusual friends through the ups and downs of the art of friendship. My name is Stina Constantine.
My name is Father Sean Burns, and together we explore what it takes to grow real, satisfying friendships, the joys and challenges we face along the way, and of course, becoming a good friend ourselves.
We hope by sharing our learning and experiences, this podcast will serve you in living your life to the full. To Living Fullness. Thank you for being here once again with us today. How are you today, Padre?
Well, how about yourself?
Good. I'm good. How has the weekend, the week been?
It's been good. Yeah. It's busy, but good. Yeah.
Busy how?
Yeah. We've still got all of our students who are preparing for exams and having minor panic attacks. but they're going well. So I've been working with them. Also, you're getting ready for the new guys coming in, organizing all the things that have to be organized for that, and meetings with Bishop, and yeah, very exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah. So, been a busy week, but a good week. How about for yourself?
Good. Yeah, look, things have been pretty good too. I had an interesting start to the day. My house mum decided we were going to clean out a corner cupboard that was a lot deeper than I actually knew. And she warned me just as we were about to clean, if there is something dead in there.
Oh.
But the acrobatics involved to try and get to that corner was something. There was nothing dead in there, thankfully.
I was about to ask that question.
But And there is no way my husband would have been able to get to it even if there was. So it would have been on me. I'm glad that was not something I had to deal with this morning.
Fair enough. Good morning, Stina.
Yeah.
Could you please pick up this corpse?
Yeah. Oh, not exactly my favourite pastime.
Well, that's good.
Good times. So I am very well.
Good.
So today we are going to continue our conversation on those five key elements that are required in the growth of any relationship. These five have been named and coined by Sarah Swafford from Emotional Virtue in the States, and this is part of the natural progression of a relationship that we're talking about. So the first few episodes, we've already covered trust, honesty, and time, and we're now finally on to virtue.
Yes, very exciting.
Which is exciting. So I know that when we hear the word virtue, we have a range of thoughts and responses that immediately jump to mind. And for some people, it will be thinking about this excessive moral excellence type of being that's almost too hard and almost, you know, prudish kind of way of seeing. And then for others, it's this really old word that, you know, seems to have no real tangible impact in our current society and the way that we live now. So I'm happy to say it's neither.
That's right. It's neither sort of this, oh, look at me, I'm all virtuous, you know, and nor is it, you know, when I was a boy back in, you know, it is actually something current, and it's not something which is prudish.
Exactly. So there is an excellence component involved, however, when it comes to virtue, and it's really based around goodness and habitual goodness. So it's not something that necessarily comes easy straight off. It's something that takes time, it takes development, takes energy and effort. But over time, it can become a habit and does become a habit for it to become a virtue. So we all have our strengths and we all have our weaknesses, and it takes a lot of striving and a lot of assistance and support to be able to get to a point where we can actually say this is a virtue for me now. So these virtues does mean that we need to have some skills in reflection, in being able to reflect on our behavior, on our thoughts and our intentions, and then also being intentional. So our habits are not just something that comes with no thought and no desire and no emotion. And then it also requires action. So it's an integration, really, of who we are. It's not, a virtue is not something that we just do. And I think we can think of things like, oh, patience. You know, I just need to wait it out. But if I just keep tapping my toe whilst I'm waiting it out, well, that's not really true patience. Right. I mean, I'm guilty of that, so I can speak of that. It's not really true patience, is it?
Sure, sure.
And then, of course, we have examples of courage, you know, some, and we can look to our media outlets for incredible stories of heroic courage that we can see. And you can see that and you can say, okay, maybe that was a once-off. But for the people that know people who genuinely possess the courage, the virtue of courage, they will know that this is something that is a strength of theirs that they've built over the course of time.
Sure, sure. It's sort of a harnessing, or a you know, one of the things that Virtue Ministry talks about is harnessing inner good and directing sort of our emotions and our desires towards that which is good. You know, so that when the emotion of courage comes up in that moment, I've got the virtue of courage to back it up, to fortify it, direct it properly, so that I'm neither foolhardy nor am I frightened in the face of whatever the danger is.
Absolutely. And because it's all based around, with the core being love, true love, everything will order itself towards love. So when I say everything, I mean everything.
Everything.
Everything from emotion, passion, desire, to thoughts, to the way that we actually physically act. It's not one thing alone. It's the whole integration encompassing of your whole human person.
Absolutely.
Which is what makes us so awesome.
That's right. That's right. So where do values come into all of this? You know, our value system has a lot to do with the way that we think, you know, the things that we value, the things that we hold close to ourselves, right? Well, they influence the manner in which we strive for human excellence, because we'll strive after the things that we value naturally. Now, obviously, there are certain universal qualities that we value, you know, and they might be things like, you know, life. Life is important. So, you know, we mustn't kill because life's an important value, and we want to hold on to that. But beyond these sort of very recognizable values that sort of sit within what we might call a natural moral law,
sure,
there comes a question of, well, why? You know, like why should I value anything? Why should I value certain Christian principles? Why should I value friendship? Why should I, and how should I value these things? How are my values meant to be ordered, and why do I order them in the order that I have them? Mm. Yeah, and I suppose when we talk about our values, when we don't reflect upon them, we probably say things like, well, you know, this is just what I've always done, and this is what I've always valued, and this is just, this is how I am. But it does take, I think, some reflection to think about, well, okay, this is a thing that I value, but why do I value it? You know, why is it important to me? So it's 100% correct to say that well, you know, I value life, and I value my friends, and I value, you know, my family, and I value them because I ought to. I value them because you know, love kind of makes a demand on me that I value them. Sure, that's excellent. But we should ask that fundamental question, why do I value them? And to arrive at that answer, it does take a fair amount of self-reflection.
Definitely.
You know, and the answer to that question of why, ultimately, it always does come back to, as you've said, it always does come back to love. But one thing that we do need to be aware of is that sometimes what we value may not necessarily accord with what we should value.
Right.
So, and this is where the question of why often comes in. You know, we might say, well, you know, I value my family, I value my friends. Why? Well, because love demands it. I value those people. I value my neighbor. Why? Because love demands it. But there are some things that seem to be counter to love that we can value. And so we sort of need to be able to ask the question, why do I sometimes want to do things that are wrong? Why do I seem to value at times things that are dodgy? And it's helpful then to be able to ask, what am I getting out of that thing?
Yeah.
You know, is it pleasure? Is that what it is? Is it comfort? Is it, what's the thing? This is why I emphasize the whole why factor, is that it allows us to go, well, what sits behind that value? Is it love? Is it good? Or is it something that is perhaps more self-serving?
Self-seeking and self-serving, right. So it's not just good enough to be able to say, well, it's just pure manners to do these things, or it's just what we've always done. It's, what we've always been taught to do. That's what my parents did. You know, that's great if that's a good and helpful and a loving thing that you're considering. But other than that, what does it mean for us personally, individually, more than just what we should?
Yeah.
And so I guess for anyone who's sort of thinking, well, firstly, let me say that values are very much the building blocks for the way that we think and the way that we see the world and the way that we live out and interact within the world. So it is crucial that we place values and we prioritize values. And it's important to be able to distinguish as we develop between the values and make our own decisions on what we ourselves personally value. But for anyone who's out there thinking, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never thought about what my personal values are. I mean, now that we've talked about family and friends, okay, yeah, those are things that I value too. But beyond that, I don't know. I don't know what I value. So if there is anyone who's watching or listening who is thinking along those lines, then here's a couple of questions just to start the conversation. And the first one is, who do I admire and what is it about them that I admire? So if you can think of, when I say admire, I think most people can immediately think of at least one or two who might come to mind, someone who's made an impression on them. You really think about, what is it about that person that has made an impact or an impression, a positive impact and impression on you? Really try and figure out a word, maybe two words, to describe what that person possesses. And then to consider, what is it in life that inspires you to take action? So what actually makes you and stirs you up to make a move of some kind, to actually want to do something and follow through on that? What inspires you in that way? And then to consider also, when are the situations and circumstances in life where you feel you are most yourself? And by that I mean, where you are most like the person that you were made to be. And along with that, you can also take into consideration, well, where are the circumstances, situations, and the people that I surround myself with where I'm not, where I'm not really fully myself? And really, when we start to think about those situations and circumstances and the clusters of people, we can start to see patterns forming, patterns of values that we actually don't admire as highly, or we don't value as highly, or for the circumstances where we are fully alive and fully who we were made to be, or becoming at least fully who we were made to be, those are probably the places we'll find the values that we truly desire and value the most.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
So along those lines then, Padre.
Yes.
What would be some of your more important, more prioritized values if you had to name, I don't know, two or three of them?
Sure. Faith.
Okay, obviously. It's personal.
It's like there. Along with that, service.
Okay.
And my loved ones.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
I can see that, as Padre says, service. I go, that's why we're friends. Because I share a similar value in that. There's a generosity and service that I sort of put hand in hand.
Sure.
That I also value alongside loyalty. That's another big one for me. People who actually stand up for other people when that person's not present. That's huge for me. And then freedom, like people's actual freedom and the need to protect that and to preserve that and not have that tarnished. That's another big one for me.
I like it. I'm glad I get to say this next bit. For more information on virtue, go to www.virtueministry.org.au. Look at their talks and workshops and make contact.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. We love to be able to work out the how of living out virtue. So we love doing that's that's what drives us. That's what gets us up and moving and meeting people. So definitely get in touch if there is any way that we can serve you.
Excellent. Within friendship, there are, I think, some important considerations surrounding values and virtue that we need to look at. And one of those is, does my value system clash with theirs? And one of the things that comes to mind for me here is that as a priest, I do weddings, I do marriages. People often say, "This, you know, Father married me." It's like, no, I didn't actually marry you. I did the wedding ceremony for you.
Awkward.
That's right. But in the context of that, we have often we'll have people come to us who are, you know, one is Catholic and one is of a different Christian denomination, or one is no religion at all, you know, perhaps unbaptized. And when that happens, in church law, it actually mandates that one should marry someone of the same Catholic faith. And if you don't marry someone of the same Catholic faith, then you must get what's called a dispensation. And that dispensation is that the Catholic party and the non-Catholic party are both aware of the values that must be cherished above all. And so the church puts forward number one value as God is most important, and nothing can interfere with that value, that is the highest value. And so it kind of gives us this idea that there is actually a hierarchy of values, that not all values sit at the same level. And so God is first, and everything else sits beneath that, obviously ordered in particular things. You know, so obviously the value of pleasure will sit below the value of love of family and friends and so on. But God is the highest value. And so when you look at that and you see, okay, if I have somebody who I'm trying to be friends with who doesn't place God first, or who doesn't consider their family in the same way that I would consider mine, to have the same value attached to that, is that a friendship that can grow? Is that a friendship that can work? Mm. I don't think the answer is automatically no. You know, I think it can work, but there needs to be some clarity surrounding one another's values, that the existence of that friendship does not mean the vitiation of what we value.
Mm. And I guess within friendship too, it's important to consider where the friendship and the values are independent, not necessarily the values that are within the person, but the values that are common for within the friendship, whether there is actually a priority on goodness, you know, and that I think that's a huge part of whether a friendship actually grows into a healthy manner
or not. Definitely.
Because like you said, there can be different values that are present among two people.
Yeah.
But if there isn't a common value of goodness and the priority of wanting the best for another, then I think we're going to walk into some murky territory.
We're going to have some difficulty, Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think intuitively, as friends, we have certain expectations already in place in society of what friendships should possess, the kind of values that friendships should possess. So, you know, just to give some examples of the fact that this isn't Padre and I sort of going off the charts with with stipulating that these are values that need to be present in our lives and so on. But actually, no, these values are already there. And to give some examples of that, you know, we, for example, we expect that our friends will keep our secrets.
Right.
That's part of being a good friend. That's a value of trustworthiness.
Yeah.
We expect that our friends will stand up for us, right? Loyalty and courage, you know, especially if it's in a setting where standing up for your friend who is there or is not there might mean you will get mocked in some way.
Yeah.
Right? That takes courage, and we expect that of a decent friend, of a decent human being.
Definitely.
We expect that our friends will not want to hurt us.
Mm.
We expect them to be loving towards us. We expect them to accept our apology when we muck up.
Yeah. Right?
These are values of love and of mercy and forgiveness. We expect our friends to support us and encourage us, and instead of, you know, tearing us down.
These
are all things that we expect of friendship.
Yeah.
As is, without anything added to what's present in society.
Yeah.
And these are because of our values, of what we value as human beings.
That's right. Well, to put on my hat of devil's advocate, as it were.
Right.
It's okay. It's not really. It's just to say it sounds hard. If I'm someone who doesn't necessarily have clarity surrounding some of this, it sounds hard. Why should I care about this?
Yeah, sure. I guess because within any relationship that we have, we actually have a sense of responsibility of the other. So it's not a selfish and self-seeking and self-focused endeavor when we enter into a relationship with another person. And if we don't take these things into consideration, so take for example, if I walk down the street and I smile at a stranger who's walking past me, I immediately have an impact on that person. And the same for if I'm walking down the street and I am frowning at a person or I'm glaring at a person, I immediately have an impact on them. Now, I've not said anything. I've not necessarily done a whole lot, but in a simple facial expression, I have made an impact on a stranger who I don't know. If that's the case, what kind of impact do we actually have on the people that we deliberately and intentionally surround ourselves with? And I think it's important that we actually take that into consideration, because these are the people that we care about, and therefore we actually have a level of responsibility for them and their well-being.
That was a really good answer.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, well done.
Sometimes something's useful come out of my mouth.
That's normally, sometimes. That's normally my line. Look, you know, and striving to be virtuous, striving to order the things that we value and to strive after them to gain them as virtues. You know, the disposition of cheerfulness, the disposition of sort of affability and friendliness, just as one thing that you were talking about in terms of walking down the street. You know, well, we never strive for virtue for selfish reasons. You know, it's I often use the example with my seminarians that if a young man virtuously takes an old woman by the hand that helps across the road, well, that's a really good thing that he's done. He's exercising charity there. However, if in fact what he's done is to look across the road and there is this beautiful woman that he's trying to impress, he's like, I know exactly what I'll do. Come here, lady, you know, and I walk her across the road and see, look what I've done, aren't I good? Well, that's there's nothing virtuous that sits within that. There's what that person has valued is really themselves instead of the other. We strive for virtue for the sake of love, willing the good of the other. And because at the end of the day, that's what God has written upon our human hearts, is to look out for the good of the other.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think that was a pretty decent conversation that we've had on virtue. Obviously, we've not covered everything that we could cover on virtue. So if there are some gaps or questions, by all means, please send them in. Yeah, send them in. You can do that either via our website. You can do that on Living Fullness Facebook group as well. You can pop your questions in there. You can DM us on Virtue Ministry. Put your questions in there. If you know us personally, come and ask us. Come and talk to us.
That's right, yeah.
I promise I won't glare at you.
I make no such promises. No.
I can't promise he won't, but I won't.
I won't glare. It's okay. Very good.
So by all means, get in touch. We would love to be able to go deeper if that's what you guys would like, if that's helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that brings us to the end of this episode, Truth, Beauty and Goodness. Right. And I think we both just went, uh-oh.
We both did just go, uh-oh, because I didn't even think about it for this episode. You know that?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So I can't make you go first, can I?
Well, actually you can. You can make me go first. So Stina has been instructing me not to do this for weeks. Here is the opportunity. Carpe diem, so they say.
Here we go. Brace yourself.
All right. So the transcendental properties of being. This is truth, goodness, and beauty. It sounds like it's really big terms. They're not. They're very simple.
But you can break
terms.
It down.
So transcendental means that it exists sort of above the material. It exists in the transcendent. It's kind of godly in a way, you know. And these properties of being are the marks of God in the world. Truth, goodness, and beauty. It's like the Trinity's mark on all of creation. Every created being possesses truth, goodness, and beauty. And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That was sneaky, wasn't it?
That was very sneaky. But it's true. It's true. And for us who are Christians, obviously our number one value, as we've talked about today, being faith in our relationship with God, it's so important that we actually are aware of the ways in which he inspires and moves and has, you know, done what he has done with creation, and for us to actually be observant of that and to glorify in that. So definitely 100%. As for mine, look, I don't know. Can I say chocolate?
Well, chocolate possesses truth, goodness, and beauty. So insofar as...
Yeah, sure. I had cheese and crackers and chocolate after having to deal with potentially having to deal with a dead thing. I thought, you know what? It might be morning, but I deserve some chocolate.
Absolutely. Sure. It's chocolate is good, and it is beauty, and insofar as it possesses its the integrity of its being, it possesses truth. It's absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, in other words, we will think about this for next time.
We suck, all right? It's
that was not very intentional, so we'll work on it. But thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode. We hope that you've enjoyed it, you've taken something useful from it. Let us know your thoughts, your comments, your questions. And until next time, know of our love and prayer.
God bless.